Thanks, Olivia, for helping us. I appreciate it. Received this card this week. Nancy gave it to me. I thought I would share it with you. It's from Community First Solutions. Thank you so much for your quick response to my request for clothing for a Ross resident in need. Mentions her name, was appreciative when I took them to her. She says, if you become aware of anyone, excuse me, that is in need of services or of an older adult that needs additional assistance to remain in their home, please refer them to me. I hope to see you at the turkey dinner. I read that before. I didn't realize what that was the last line that was said. But what I thought about that is when we partner with people, it's amazing what opportunities are out there that are available that we can use along with not only our resources but other resources. And it's so great how ministry is all tied together. I think it's amazing. I was thinking this week as I was preparing the message, and I thought about what do we do when we get out of legalism? And then I thought, I'm not really sure we're ready to talk about that because there's some other things I think that we have to deal with. So before we get into the message, I do have the joke of the day. This is not necessarily theologically correct, and some people might be, I don't think anyone in here will be offended because you know it's just a joke, but there's some churches in both directions that might be offended by it. But anyway. A man goes into a bar with his dog. It's already funny. And he goes up to the bar and he asks for a drink. And the bartender says to him, says, you can't bring that dog in here. The guy, without missing a beat, says, that's my seeing eye dog. Oh, okay. He says, I'm sorry. He said, here's the first one on me. He said, you brought your dog in. I said that. He said, here's the first one on me. So anyway, the man takes his drink and goes over and sits down by the door. Next man comes in. And the first guy looks at him and he says, you can't come into a bar with a chihuahua. And the first guy sees him and stops him and says that to him. And he says, but if you tell him it's a seeing eye dog, then, you know, he'll let you stay. So the second man replies, okay. And so anyway, he goes up to the bar and he's got his chihuahua with him. And the bartender says, You can't bring a dog like that in here. And he says, well, this is my seeing eye dog. And the bartender says, no, he says, chihuahuas aren't seeing eye dogs. And he said, what? They gave me a chihuahua? I said, no more Catholic jokes for a while. And, you know, so. Anyway. So as I was thinking about that, and thinking about the message that God wants us to fulfill is the message that what Greg talked about. But I'm going to end the message today with I don't know how to describe it. It was a mess from a couple I talked with this week. Probably the best way to say it. You have some notes in your bulletin that there's, again, a blank page. And it's blank because I want you to think about what it is personally that when we go through this message that applies to you and really touches your life and touches your heart. So many people out there think that God works in a paradoxical manner. And what's that mean? And that means that if he says one thing, he does just the opposite. Means just the opposite. And when we talk about it and we think about it, the way up is really the way down on your knees. That's how we gain anything. If we're going to receive anything from God, what do we have to do? We have to give. That's kind of a paradox. In order to receive, we give. Now, we don't give to receive. But once when we give, and we give generously out of our heart, then we begin to receive from God. How about this one? To live, we must first die. To live, we got to die to ourselves. He looks for the weak, the no names, the foolish, the despised, And then what he does is he inhabits us or them or you with his power. And that's what he does. If we want to be part of the kingdom of God, we have to come as children. We can't come as learned scholars. Remember Paul? Studied under some of the great leaders in the Sanhedrin. Very intelligent, very smart man. But when he was knocked off of his horse, he had to become a child again. I saw this week, and as I was reading, I thought it was interesting. He said, we have enough faith at conversion to pray for sick people to be healed, for sick people to be delivered, for people to be restored. But you know what the problem is? We keep praying for more faith. The only time, and think about this with me, that God ever mentions faith in the Bible, or Jesus ever mentions faith, is when he says, we all have the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed grain. He never says anybody has great faith. But what he says is that's the measure of faith that we are given. In other words, we don't need any more faith than that to do miraculous things. And that's what's so amazing to me. Paul summed it up best in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He says, each time he said no, but I am with you. That's all you need. My power shows up best in weak people. Now I am glad to boast about how weak I am. Whoa. How many people boast about how weak they are? But that's what Paul's saying. That's after he became a child. He said, I am glad to be a living demonstration of Christ's power instead of showing off my own power and my own abilities. It really wasn't about Paul. It was about what Jesus had done in his life. And when we begin to see ourselves as weak, and I don't necessarily mean weaklings, but what that becomes is an attitude of our heart. And when our heart becomes vulnerable, and we become vulnerable, then that's when the power of God hits us, because we can't do this stuff on our own. There's absolutely no way we can do it. And so we begin to trust in God and what God's telling us to do. And I will share this with you. I told some people this week some pretty tough stuff. But it is tough stuff. It's tough. Greg and I were talking. He was sharing with me about praying for some woman in a wheelchair. You know, and you look at that and you think, you know, what's the hope? This woman's in a wheelchair. If she doesn't want to get out of it, how am I going to get out of her? Now, I know Linda wants to get out of it, and I know that. And I know that she's going to walk in this church one day. I'm totally confident of that. And that's the expectation that God has for us. Matthew 5:6 says, and he's talking there about hungering after his righteousness and hungering after his power. He said, this is from the Amplified, but it says, blessed, which means joyful, nourished by God's goodness, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are those who actively seek right standing with God, for they will become completely satisfied. Not partially satisfied, but completely satisfied. To be completely satisfied, we need to become part of, we need to experience that full inheritance that God has given to us. And we've seen it witnessed in people's lives. We've seen it demonstrated in people's lives. We've seen supernatural things happen. But that's when it becomes real to us, is when we see that demonstration of it. But sometimes a demonstration only comes when we do something. And I know there, you know, and I know there are people out there, not necessarily here, say, well, that's the pastor's job. And part of it is. But there are people that we come in contact every day, that you come in contact every day, I'll never meet, probably. And if they need something done in their lives, sometimes it's you that have to do it. I certainly won't shy away from it, I'll tell you that. The second concern is righteousness. It's our righteousness, which is not based on human knowledge. It's not based on anything that we knew, anything that we do. But it's the finished work that Jesus did on the cross. And I mentioned last week, I think, 1 John 1:9, that says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Take that garbage out. It's kind of like the Nike commercial. You know, just do it. You know, just let it get done. Those are probably three of the simplest words that made Michael Jordan a multimillionaire over and over and over and over again. Our culture seems to embrace intellectualism and rather than things being divine. We seem to want to have the knowledge, but maybe not impart it to someone else, or maybe not to share it. Matthew 6:17 says, we see it where we see an example of this. He says, Jesus answered him, blessed, and blessed means happy, spiritually secure, favored by God, are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood or mortal man did not reveal this to you, but by my Father who is in heaven. And that comes from that being cleansed and that having that righteousness in our lives. God, I think, is an out-of-the-box thinker. I don't think that we can't put God in a box and say, do this. And we can't allow ourselves to be put in a box and not do things that are different than what the world would see. And I know that you can walk into many churches, and I don't fault them. We just all do things that are different. But you'll walk into a lot of churches, and you'll see a minister with a tie on. You'll see a minister in robes, and that's fine. I can't imagine wearing one. And I'm glad that you don't expect me to. And I'm glad you don't care if I roll up my sleeves, because I think it's time that we get to work. But that's what it's all about, is doing work. It's not about intellectualism. It's not about tradition. Because if we go out and pray some people, that'll break tradition. It'll break tradition. It'll break your heart when you see God answer prayer. God wants us to think out of the box and not be encumbered by what people say or what our mind tells us. There's some miracles of God that were mentioned in the Bible. God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 19:24-25. Remember the burning bush in Exodus, that Moses was confronted by God with the burning bush, but the bush was never consumed. God parted the Red Seas for the Israelite children to escape. He destroyed the walls of Jericho. If you get a chance this week, read Numbers 22. That's where he had a donkey speak. That's a great story. Numbers 22. There's a bunch of miracles that Jesus performed. He healed a centurion's servant in Matthew chapter 8. He cursed a fig tree and it died in Matthew chapter 21. He multiplied fish and bread in Mark chapter 6. So that they not only ate, but they had plenty left to take away. He turned water into wine in John chapter 2. He raised Lazarus from the dead, John chapter 11. But he brought us salvation. And we've all got that chapter in our lives. It's a short list of what Jesus did. But the long list begins with what he did after Calvary. Because what he did was so limited to what we can do. And it should be such a short list to what we do. But we get caught up in legalism, and it doesn't free our mind, and I don't like that term necessarily. Because we get wrapped up in what do we think and not what do we feel. It's not what's in our mind. It's what is in our heart. Because legalism will force us to live by the law, and the law's in our mind. The law's not in our heart. The law's in our mind. If we don't do it perfectly, then it condemns us. And I'll tell you how that happens. I was going down a beautiful street in Hamilton the other day, and I ran a red light. Well, guess who I was blessed to look up and see? A Hamilton City policeman behind me with his red lights on. So he pulls up, and you know, and I pull over, and he comes up, and he says, "I guess you know what you did." And I said, "I bet you stopped me because I ran that red light." "Yeah, I did." He said, "Could I see your license?" And I said, "Sure." I said, "But I want to tell you something else." I said, "I have a concealed carry permit." And I said, "I have a weapon in my truck." He said, "Thanks for telling me." I broke the law because I got a ticket. And he put the code on there, which I thought, he's a great sense of humor. I mean, I totally respect policemen. But he put it on there, and it was code 315 point something. He said, "Don't worry, that's not the fine." And I'm thinking, well, there's something good coming out of this. But I broke the law. Did I feel guilty? Wait, in a way? Because now I got to pay the fine. I could have caused an accident. I'm glad I didn't. But I had a chance to meet a policeman. Could have been worse. But we feel condemned if we don't perfectly follow the law. When we live by the law, it hinders the flow of God in our lives. By the way, this might go for that ticket. I don't know. It is... Let me tell you, it is People Appreciation Day today. Legalism will evolve in a lot of other ways too. What it may become is a person's worship, where we don't worship God anymore, but we worship the law. We worship those 632 Jewish laws. Or someone said, legalism might become somebody's baggy pants. Think about that. Now, I don't like them. But that's the way people dress. If I'm legalistic, then I hold that against them and I forget who they are. I forget they have a heart. I forget they have a soul. That doesn't mean I like them. But that's the way it is. Our discerning needs to replace a judging spirit, if we have it. Faith is witnessing the impossible. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance." I love this. In parenthesis, it says title deed or confirmation of things hoped for. And in parenthesis, it says after hoped for, divinely guaranteed. You want to change that. Now faith is the assurance of things divinely guaranteed. We don't have to hope for him anymore. He's guaranteed them. And the evidence of things not seen, in parenthesis, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by physical senses. Many of us see this as a foundation of our faith. And we should. Here's the key. We have that measure of faith. But the true measure of Christianity is love. The more we love, the more faith grows. The more we love the guy in the baggy pants, the more our faith grows. I don't know why I come up with that illustration. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 13 says, For other foundation no man can lay that is laid, which Jesus is Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I mentioned grace earlier, and I want to share this story with you because I think it's interesting. I had this couple call me this week and said, can we come talk to you? I'm always available to be, you know, talked to, and I happen to be here. And so I said, sure, come on in. So they come in, and there was a couple things that they wanted to talk about before they got down to the real business of, I'm not sure if that, what was the real business. Because there's so much stuff in their lives that they got a lot of stuff to work through, to be honest with you. But after they went through the first part of what they told me, one of them said, I've had an affair. Okay. What are you doing about it? My question. Well, we love each other. And she said, I love him. And he said, I love her. And I said, well, what are you doing every day about it? And he said, well, she brings it up every day. I said, that's understandable. You've broken a sacred relationship. And she's sitting there, and I'm not giving away who it was, but the he-she thing, she's sitting there saying, well, I can't forget it. And I said, that's your mind. And she says, how do I forget? I said, would you lay your life down for him? Yes. So that's part of it. But I said, the other part of it is letting it go. Are you willing to let it go? She says, I keep thinking about it. And I said, that's my point. As long as you continue to think about it, it's going to become a mind thing. And it's going to become your God. That's going to be the thing that's going to consume you. But when you get it out of here and get it here, because I told her, I said, to forgive is divine. I don't care. I said, you may never forget it, but you got to quit thinking about it, because at some point it will be over and you will forget about it. But I said, if you can't forgive, then you'll never see any peace. You'll never see any satisfaction. You'll never be happy. I said, because what's going to happen is that every time he goes to the grocery store and he's gone 10 minutes and he should be gone 8, you're going to think, what's he doing? And I said, that's not forgiveness. Well, she said, it's not easy. And I said, you're darn right, it's not easy. But I said, the thing that people don't understand is when two people get married, they become one. And when people get a divorce, it's not two people. That one person is torn apart to where they become two broken parts. And sometimes those broken parts can work to destroy a family. They can work to destroy children. They can work to destroy a relationship. And you've got one person that wasn't hurt, fighting like heck to make it work. And you've got somebody else out there trying to destroy it. And I said, that's not the Spirit of God working. The Spirit of God says, I forgive and I release you. And that's when it gets out of our mind. It gets into our heart. So when we can look at it and at whatever the situation is and pray for someone that's hurting, pray for someone that's got a problem, pray that we touch somebody's lives. The church is only going to go forward when we get out of the mindset that we can't do this. And I don't care if it's knocking on your neighbor's door and say, hey man, you go to church anywhere? I love what John said. I love it here. I like that. There's a reason. Because spiritually, in our hearts, we accept John. But we accept everyone. I'm still waiting for the guy to come in here with tattoos all over him. I'm looking for him. All right, I found him. It doesn't make any difference when we begin to function from our heart, not from our mind. That's what it's all about. When God, and I was talking to somebody today about, just mentioned their conscience, and I said, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. And that's just exactly who he is. The Holy Spirit talking to us, telling us what to do. So if you don't feel loved by someone, reach out to somebody that does love you. If you feel loved by someone, reach out to somebody that needs more love. But that's what God's looking for. People that care. He's concerned about people that don't. But he's only going to build his church, and he's only going to increase our faith by the fact that we do care. Again, it's been a great day. I appreciate your love. Your kindness, you're tolerating us. It's great to be here. God bless you.